Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/know-how to save 20% off any order. And by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. Today on Know-How,
it's the Holiday Geek Gift Giving Guide to the Man Cave.
Welcome to Know How. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. And wow, Jason Howell, you went for that one.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to turn around, give it all you got.
It's all about, you got to have a little English on it, you know?
Yes,
you know?
Totally. That's a little bit of extra flair.
A little chi-ball, that's how that works.
How's
but folks, that's we're not chi-balling here. We're actually going to give you all the knowledge you need so you can build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Ballos here.
And I'm Jason Howell.
That's right, and for the next couple of minutes, we're going to be opening up the man cave that is your brain, or woman cave. You know, we're trying to be inclusive here.
Well, I was going to ask, because, you know, there are things here that belong in any cave.
Yeah, really. But see, here's the thing. When we started putting together this episode, the idea was, oh, let's make it man cave, video games and music. And then we kind of wanted to say, wait a minute, not everyone's going to be able to make a proper man cave. I mean, not everyone has the space. Not everyone stays in one place. Not everyone owns a home. So what if we kind of did a smattering of man cave things, things that I would like in my man cave, maybe things that I'd like to keep in my man cave for use when I travel wherever it is that I travel. So it's a different kind of man cave. It's a man cavening, really.
The reckoning. And I mean, when I approach this, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I really just kind of dove into what I have. It's less of a cave, more like a den.
Yeah.
More like a multi-purpose room.
Man den.
But that doesn't sound as awesome as man cave. But I took some of the things that I enjoy in the den / cavening that I have already, and then a few things that I would like. I don't know about anybody else, but I basically built a list of things I want.
Right.
So basically what I'm saying is, if you must get me a holiday or Christmas gift of some sort, you're going to know soon what I actually want.
Get something on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is really just a gift registry. You can send it care to a TV.
It's a registry episode.
In Petaluma. But I wanted to start it off with something that a lot of people have asked me about. People are big on NASs. Everyone here knows that I'm big into Synology. Mm-hmm. I used to be in ReadyNAS. I used to be QNAP. Those are decent solutions, but in my opinion, nothing has quite expanded and exceeded my expectations quite as much as Synology. They've done a great job with their line of both NASs and routers. And, I mean, what I love is the fact that they always update their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of these. I had this problem with Netgear, where we bought this brand new 12-bay NAS for an enterprise, and they end-of-lifed it a year later. I mean, this is an incredibly expensive purchase, and it's like, wait a minute, you're not going to support it anymore?
So when they end of life it, what does that mean from a support standpoint?
I mean, they don't make. I mean, it's not just that it's not under warranty. I'm okay with that. It means like they will not make firmware for it. It's like, I can't run something on my network if it's not going to be updated against the latest exploits.
Right.
Synology doesn't do that, which is a big risk.
That's a huge risk.
Yeah. Synology is much better about that. In fact, they've made the upgrade process so simple because I can actually tell my NAS, hey, when there's a new update, just apply it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between these hours, when I'm not doing anything, go ahead and apply it. And I can be relatively assured that my router and my NASs will always have the latest security patches, which I love. But problem is, we've done Synology NASs here before, and they tend to be a bit on the expensive side. And people are always wondering about the capabilities, whether or not it's going to be able to fit their needs. So I asked Synology to send us something that they thought would represent a decent man cave investment, and they sent me this.
A cardboard box.
It's a cardboard box. I love it.
You know, I really enjoy the kind of Christmassy tape
splashes.
It's, you know,
this box stores a lot. You can put a lot of things in here, and that's it. Thank you.
There's your attached storage right there.
No.
The box.
We're doing an unboxing. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure which version this is. I trust the Synology people to know what they're doing. I said I needed something that was not super budget, but something that wasn't crazy expensive, that perhaps could be expanded, something that would do what I've come to expect from Synology. So I need transcoding. I need, you know, multiple Ethernet interfaces. And they sent me what looks like, so this is the DS418 Play.
Oh, you got it.
It's a very specific version of their Synology NASes. This has been designed for people who are going to be using this primarily as a media server.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's open
this.
Kind
of falls into my camp.
Right.
I've been meaning to get this for our media setup.
Oh, I mean, once you get a decent NAS, it's so hard to go back.
Yeah.
And just having everything in one place, especially if you have a NAS that's been designed to do things like media functions, because then it makes transcoding easier. It makes watching your content when you're not home a lot easier. It does not make opening the box any easier.
Well, you know, thankfully you only have to do that once.
Or in my case, multiple times. Okay. So this is not what I expected from a Play. The Play tended to be a slightly different design than the primary Synology NAS. This looks more like one of their Soho, small office, home office arrays. Ooh, okay.
So the idea, let's see, like taking the media center as the example, the idea would be that this would be in your racks, hidden behind the cabinet in your media center, and just operating, connected to the network.
As long as it's connected to the network, you're good to go.
Okay.
So the DS418 Play, it's a 4-bay. This is a 48 terabyte maximum capacity, because I can put 4 12 terabyte drives in this. I believe this is a quad core Intel J3355 processor, and it includes an encryption engine, which is important. I'll explain that later on. Well, it looks like dual gigabit Ethernet ports with support for both aggregation and failover or dual homing. So I can either have this on two separate networks, or I can put it on one network, and as long as I have a switch that supports it, I can get increased speed, or I get failover. So if one port fails, it'll automatically go over to the other one. USB 3 for expansion, and also allows me to hook up like an external drive if I just want to, you know, a quick transfer. Or I can also use this as sort of like a wireless AP. I could hook up a dongle to this so I can get cellular service and then share it with the network. This is 2 gigabytes, I believe, of DDR3 memory. It's expandable to 6 gigabytes. Now, here's where the encryption engine really shines. Encrypted throughput is always going to be less than non-encrypted throughput.
Right.
Right. But I want encrypted throughput, because I don't want anyone just getting my NAS suddenly being able to pull my data off. However, to encrypt requires processing time. On a standard NAS, that can slow the throughput considerably, you know, down to like 60 megabytes per second, or it just means that you can't run as many functions in the background. Like, I want this to be a media server, but if it's encrypted, it has to use up processing power for that, which it can't use for the media server. This, with the encryption engine, will do 226 megabytes per second read and 185 megabytes per second write, which is fantastic. Mm. That is actually incredibly, incredibly good. Now, this box, I think it's a sub-$400 box. This one's empty, so it's going to be like $369 or up to $400. I think we've got a link for this one, Alex.
Yeah, $429.99 on Amazon right now.
There we go. Yeah, they have the non-Play versions for about $369. Now, what this is perfect for is a media server, because it does... it has a processor that does the encoding on the fly. So if I'm just file serving, so I can just copy the file off of the NAS, that's one thing. I'm just playing it on my PC. But let's say I want to log into it via a client on my smartphone when I'm away. What I want it to do is I want it to actually transcode it to the right resolution so that it looks right on the phone. Mm-hmm. Well, this has an engine built into it, a separate engine that will do that. And we'll actually do up to 2 simultaneous 4K streams.
Wow.
This is actually quite good. I want to give this one a full review because it deserves it, especially since this is one of the higher-end units on the Play series. It should allow me to do everything from, you know, VPN to network video recorder to a digital video recorder. This is something that would be perfect for like a not quite a starter NAS, but a starter NAS, a really easy to use NAS that can grow as your needs grow.
That's nice. And I mean, you know, right around $400 doesn't seem that expensive for me.
No.
And then you said what, 8 terabytes per drive?
Well, I can go up to 12 terabytes.
12 terabytes.
So I can do
per drive.
48 terabytes in one enclosure.
Oh, you got a lot of media if you're filling that sucker.
I know, right? Right. Now, what I would probably do with this is. I'm going to take it to Rome. maybe they'll let me. But I would fill it with SSDs just to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
And fast. I like fast. All right, so let's put this. That's definitely something that I want to base my man cave around, because I want to make sure I have all my files, all my media. But Jason, this is something that I think you might be interested in, and that is hearing protection. I was very late to the game in this. I used to think that hearing protection was just earplug. And evidently, musicians take that a little bit more seriously.
Well, I mean, if you put in an earplug and you go to a concert, I'm sure, you know, everybody watching has probably done that once or twice. You notice that nothing, like, yes, things are quieter, but things don't necessarily sound good. Right. They just sound quieter. And the reason for that is because often, like a regular earplug, mm-hmm. it's not doing any sort, it's not treating the full frequency spectrum in a way that makes your ears hear the music the way it was intended. Yeah. It gets really dull. It mutes it. A lot of times you miss out on a lot of that high-end frequency content. Mm-hmm. And sure, you're protecting your hearing, so it's better than not doing it. But it's really hard, like if you really get into going to shows and you're really into music and everything, you have to like make this, you know, ask yourself, do I want to protect my hearing or do I want to feel like I'm hearing all the music?
Right.
Which is why I'm here in the first place. And sometimes I have admittedly, you know, chosen not to do the hearing protection, even though I know that's stupid, because I want to hear everything without it being all muted and dull.
Have you ever gone home from a concert and there's been like that ringing?
Oh, yes.
When I was younger, I thought, oh, yeah, that's just like post-concert.
That was an awesome concert. That's a signal that was an awesome concert.
I'm still hearing it, man. No, bad. Yes. You just damaged your hearing. Yeah, that little tinnitus type thingy. Mm-hmm. Now, and you're right. If you just put earplugs in, it's not as if it cuts all frequencies the same. The material of the earplug will determine, does it cut highs more? Does it cut mids more? It's not consistent. And so, I mean, you go to a concert and now you're hearing...
It's just muffled.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going onto your stereo and taking the treble knob and going all the way down with it, and taking the mid knob and going all the way down with it, and taking the low and boosting it up. You don't really get any sort of clarity, and so much of the clarity of music is in the mids and the highs.
Or it's just like listening to, you know, a set of Beats headphones.
Cricket.
Sorry, okay. No, but I want to show you an alternative. Now, admittedly, this is a little expensive. This is really for musicians. So this is people who are going to be...
I mean, they make a career.
They make a career out of this. They need to protect their hearing, and at the same time, they also need to be able to hear what they're actually doing. I had very little faith in this. Edemotic reached out. They said, hey, you know, we heard you're putting together a gift guide. We have something that we think people might be interested in. I said, go ahead and send it, and this is it. This is the Edemotic. This is their MP915. It's their Music Pro High Fidelity Electronic Musicians Earplugs. Now, the whole idea for this is it's not a passive system. So this is not just a bunch of material that you stick in your ear in order to not have your hearing damaged. It's an active system. So inside this wonderful little case, if I can actually get it open, because you don't want to lose these because this is $300. Oh, wait.
Oof, hey, $300 for earplugs.
Yeah, $300. But these are active earplugs. They're not noise cancellation. So here's how it works. It's a three-part system. Inside each one of these, there's a tiny little microphone. Now, that microphone is going to sample the sound that's around you. And then there's a compression circuit inside that cleans up the sound. So what it's going to do, it's going to remove any overt noise. So it's going to clean it up, then it's going to compress it. So the high end comes down a little bit, the low end comes up a little bit, and then it's got a driver that delivers the compressed sound at a sound level that you can choose. You can either choose a 9 or a 15 decibel cut. You can safely listen to something at 120 decibels, which I think is the sound of a jet engine, and this will bring it down to non-ear damaging levels.
Wow.
Yeah, it's run off of, let's see if I can open this thing up, a tiny little coin battery. This is the part I wasn't big on because there's no off switch. So that coin battery, whenever it's in, it's just going to run. It's just going to keep running down.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, okay. So you got to take them out if you're not actually actively using them.
And it's not rechargeable, right?
You're not rechargeable. They're super cheap. They're super cheap. But, I mean, still, that's kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It does last between, the shortest time it lasted was about 6 days. The longest that it lasted was about 11 days.
And so, that's just keeping it in there, not using it all the time.
Oh, no, like using it for review.
Got it.
So it'll probably last long if you just leave it in the case. Mm-hmm. And then right on the back here, you've got this little toggle switch, and that's how you toggle between 9 and 15 decibel cut. The cool thing about this is, well, it's designed to go in this little headband, so it'll drape around your neck. But they've also included all of these. These are the different tips.
Oh, okay.
So you can choose one that fits for your ear. And importantly, and you know this because we both use IFBs, they've got this little tuner pipe that helps you to keep the earwax out of the device.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. My ears don't produce wax.
Of course not. No, not at all. Now, again, $300, but Jason, I have to say, these are pretty freaking amazing. Now, these are new tips. I've never used these. Go ahead and put them in, and then you can toggle between the 9 decibel and the 15 decibel cut.
So they're already running right now, right?
They're already
running.
Does
it matter which ear they go into?
Nope.
Okay.
Now, see, here's the cool thing about this. I went to a Fall Out Boy concert here in the Bay Area just, 2 weeks ago, and I was using these things. I was standing next to one of the speaker stacks, and I was able to, and go ahead and flip that. You can toggle the little switch on the outside, and you can hear the difference between the 9 and the 15 decibel cut.
I see the switch.
I was able to have a conversation with my brother standing next to me.
That's louder.
Right?
Okay.
Huh.
Interesting. I would be really curious to hear these in an actual show environment. Because what I'm trying to figure out is, like, so this is supposed to be providing isolation, right? And then you're getting everything through there.
Yeah, that might
not
be.
I would have to find a different tip in order to know it for sure. I can get the audio passing through, though. And it's funny when you do this, it starts to feed back.
Right. It's got a little microphone. It's just like a hearing aid. It's the same thing. When people put their hands over a hearing aid, it starts to feed back on itself. But
what do you think?
It does work. I mean, it's amazing. I thought it was, oh gosh, this is one of these little scam cash grabs.
Cool.
But no, this is actually a fantastic system. And then I spoke with a couple of my my musician friends, and they all said, that's a deal for $300. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and a system like this, you're going to get so much use out of it. Depending on, I mean, if it's your, you know, if you're going to a lot of shows, maybe you're a big music fan, or if it's your career, like this is like a tool of the trade.
Precisely.
You need to protect your hearing. Otherwise, what you need to do, your job, fades away.
And you
got to find a different job.
Yeah, $300 compared to deafness.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of a
no-brainer. Yeah, pretty much. That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
So, and now they actually do have, we have a link for this. They do sell these on Amazon. They do run you about $300.
Yep.
So, they're going to be pricey, but like Jason said, you know, that price is justified if this is what you actually do and if you listen to a lot of music or if you make music. That's actually a decent investment.
Yeah.
They have something that's less expensive if you go to the second link. This is $20. Now, these are just earplugs. They're well-made earplugs, and they do have swappable tips, so you can find one that works well for you, that's comfortable for you. But, it's not quite as bad as shoving foam into your ear, but you are not going to get any sort of compression out
of
those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. None of that post kind of correction stuff. I mean, I've gone so far as being at a show and forgetting my earplugs and realizing I needing them to grabbing a napkin and tearing it up and putting it in your ears. Do what you got to do, right? And that works fine. It's better than nothing. I would much rather have something that treats everything.
Do you leave a little frill of the napkin outside?
Heck yeah.
Because you don't
want to trim it down. I let it fly.
You just walk around. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
You need a napkin? Napkin ears.
Did you spill your beer? Here.
Okay. Let me fill out the rest of this first segment of our man cave list with a bunch of stuff that I have in my man cave because it's how I support all the gear that I use. And that's a lot of USB-C stuff. I don't know about you, but I have had to greatly increase the number of USB-C devices that I've been using.
I mean, USB-C is kind of the connector of choice for a lot of phones now, like more and more. Yeah, USB-C cables all over our house now.
I resisted it for a while because I'm like, I don't want another cable standard. But yeah, my laptop and my tablet and my phone and all my devices, those are all USB-C now. And it really does. It's kind of nice when they all use the same standard, don't you think?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, it's way more inconvenient to have, you know, multiple different things. And now when I see your standard like USB connector, I'm like,
I don't.
Okay, fine.
And the whole because the way that you use like micro USB is you put it in one way and then it's not the right way, so yeah. you reverse it and you put it in that way. But it's not the right way, and you reverse it one more time, and then
you're
it works.
Like, oh, wait a minute! I guess I've had it
is
right
it
the first time.
Three-sided?
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on here?
It's true, though.
Now, here's a couple of the devices that have become part of my repertoire of USB-C devices, and these are at home because one of the nice things about USB-C is I can dock. I can use that same cable that can connect me to Ethernet and all my storage devices and HDMI and DisplayPort can also be used for power. Mm-hmm. So these are the three devices that I've carried with me recently. This one is the OWC USB-C travel dock. Now, this is a 60-watt pass-through. So if I were to, say, connect the adapter for my laptop to this bad mamma jamma, what it can do now is any device, a little blue light, any device that I plug into this, like, for example, your phone.
Oh, no, don't.
There we go.
What are you going to do to my phone?
So it's actually starting to charge your phone because it's passing through the power. That's how USB-C works.
Apparently, but it's also triggering my assistant.
Yeah, it's... okay, sorry. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
But it also has HDMI. That will support 4K. It's got USB 3 and USB 2, as well as a card reader. Now, this is about a $50 device. Actually, we've got a link for this, Alex. I kind of like this just because it works no muss, no fuss on Mac, Windows, and Chromebook. This, it's actually pretty nice. I like simple. I like bulletproof construction. Mm-hmm. Now, the other one that I got, and actually, I got this one later, and I got to say, I like this a tiny bit more just because it has Ethernet. Mm-hmm. I'm still one of these guys who I want an Ethernet port. I don't like Wi-Fi all the time, and I don't like hooking in a bunch of dongles so I can get everything. So just like the other one, it's a 60-watt pass-through, so this will charge and connect at the same time. I'm going to have gigabit Ethernet. I'm going to have HDMI, which, again, supports 4K. I'm going to have a card reader, and then the other side, I get two USB 3 ports. This is now the one that travels with me. This is my backup unit, but I have one in my bag at all times because it can break out my Windows notebook, it can break out my Chromebook, and it will even break out my OnePlus One, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Jason, this is something that even if you don't want a dock, you're probably going to want, and that's one of these. So this is just a charging unit. By the way, we got to go to the link for the anchor. It's a tiny bit more expensive again because it has the Ethernet port. It's going to be about $70. Well worth it though. Incredibly well made. In fact, the anchor products that I've had have probably been the longest lived project. Hmm. They're just incredibly well constructed.
Nice.
This is a 60-watt wall charger. Now, it uses standard AC, so this will do 110, 220, 240. You get five USB ports, USB and one USB-C for a total of 60 watts. So this will charge your Chromebook. It will charge your MacBook. It will charge your phone, as well as any of the other more traditional USB devices. Mm-hmm. Now, this, it's a little pricey for a charger. It's $50, but it can deliver 60 watts. So this means this is the only charger I have to travel with. So when I travel, this charges my notebook, it charges my tablet, it charges my phone, it charges my battery.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's, again.
It's a pretty tight, solid package.
Again, yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't feel plasticky.
Yeah, it's nice.
And now people have seen this before, and I love bringing this thing out because it's awesome. I don't have another way to put it. This is the Anker PowerCore. This is the 26800. Hey, Jason.
Hey. Oh, goodness. My goodness.
Here we go. Take a look.
Yeah, this thing's heavy.
It's a little heavy. It's 600 grams. It's 1.3 pounds, but it's dense. It's super, super dense. But here's the thing. Inside of that, I get two 15-watt USB ports, 3-amp max. I get one 30-watt USB-C port. So this actually can charge my notebook and my Chromebook. It allows me to charge it at 27 watts. So this is zero to full in 4 hours.
Wow.
Now, I get 26,800 milliamp hours. Now, let's put that into perspective.
26,000?
96,000, which is 96.48 watt hours. If I were to charge, say, an iPhone 7, I could charge an iPhone 7, 7 to 13 times, depending on...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can charge a OnePlus One 5T 7.5 times from zero to full. I can charge a high-end Chromebook my Acer, my R13, five times from zero to full. I can charge a MacBook Pro twice, but it won't quick charge. So that means that it will only trickle
right.
if it's running. If it's off, then it will charge full rate. This is, well, I'll put it this way. The last international trip I did, I didn't bring a charger. I had forgotten the charger.
And you were able to live off.
And I lived off the battery.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, this thing. And also, you know, maybe a little USB-C cable.
Yeah, get a nice threaded one.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get the braided one. I know it's kind of more expensive, but yeah, I like it.
It's worth it. It's worth kind of ponying up.
So that's my power system. That's my power system, my USB system. What do you think? So that's the first part of my man cave, Jason. What would you add?
I'm curious to see the second part because maybe you would have that in there. I really like the idea of the Synology.
Right.
I missed that in mine mainly because my man cave or den or whatever you want to call it doesn't have any like of the multimedia like viewing. Right. It's not set up for that. But I really like that for our living room. So
it
I'm going to go ahead
be.
And take this. And no, I won't.
Oh, we've got so many of them, Jason. I won't even notice it. Actually, just take the one out of the machine room here.
Oh.
See?
Who's that guy?
Don't take off the engineers.
Why is he yelling at us?
Now, okay, this has been fun, and this is sort of productivity with a little bit of media. But when we come back, how about we focus on something like gaming?
Okay.
Because every man cave's got to have gaming, right?
Yep. I would agree. Yeah. Mine has some, too.
So we'll get to gaming in just a bit, but first, let's take a moment to thank a sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, folks, I understand that your electronics are near and dear to you, right? I mean, you hate losing your stuff, be it your notebook, your phone, even your car keys. Now, what if there was a piece of technology out there that allowed you to easily track where everything was? Not just help you find it when you lose it, but maybe even give you a reminder when you're starting to lose it. Well, folks, you don't have to dream because that technology exists, and it's called the Tracker. See, the Tracker is a coin-sized device that helps you track absolutely everything that you have and you need and you love. Now, 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first tracking device, and now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With the Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. You place Tracker Pixel on the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market on whatever it is that you tend to lose. Your keys, your wallet, your remote. It's small enough to fit on your smallest items. Now, when you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, you go to the Tracker app on your smartphone, you press a button, and a 90-decibel alert will help you find it in just seconds. Even has a powerful LED light so you can find your items in the dark. Ever lose your keys on the way to your car after a concert? I've done that. I wish I had a tracker then. Oh, if you lose your phone, you can actually use it in reverse. You just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone rings, even if it's on silent. Now, you can even locate your item if it's miles away. Every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And that means as long as your Tracker is in range of another Tracker user, you can still find it. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means that you truly have nothing to lose. Try it. See if it works for you. If you don't like it, you can send it back, but I know you won't because you're going to love the Tracker. The Tracker makes a great gift, and during this holiday season, save 20% off your order when you go to thetracker.com/knowhow. That's the, thetracker.com/knowhow for 20% off. Again, thetracker.com/knowhow. And we thank Tracker for their support of Know How. All right, Jason. So, I was going to put a little bit of a feedback item here, but let's hold back on that because, well, I think we're going a little long. I think we're geeking out a bit too much. And instead, let's jump into the gaming segment because a while back, you had a chance to be, what was the word? Super hot.
Super hotted?
You were super.
Yeah.
You were
super hotified?
Soup potted. You soup pot.
Something like that.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. We had a chance to try out Acer's AH101 mixed reality headset.
I like that headset a lot.
It is a nice headset. So I thought maybe instead of just showing some gaming, I can actually do an in-depth, up-close and personal review of Acer's AH101.
The Acer AH101 is one of the Windows mixed reality headsets that was first announced by Microsoft at GDC 2017. Microsoft wanted to create a headset that would not only rival Gear from more established players like Oculus and HTC,
but also spurred development for non-gaming applications of VR. The hardware isn't particularly groundbreaking, but it is very well designed. The H101 uses dual 2.89-inch 1440 by 1440 706 PPI LCDs to create a 2880 by 1440 stereoscopic display with a 100-degree field of view. Acer also designed the display module to flip up and forward to allow you to see the real world without having to remove the headset. Nice touch. The headset is light, really light, only 1.35 pounds, and has a 13-foot umbilical that combines the HDMI and USB 3 cable needed to run the headset. A HoloLens-style headband uses a torsion wheel to adjust the headband to accommodate pretty much every size of head. The AH101 sports proximity sensors, a gyroscope, accelerometer, magnetometer, and tracking cameras to give the user 6 degrees of freedom: roll, pitch, yaw, forward, back, up, down, left, and right. Speaking of tracking cameras, that's a big advantage that the Acer has over competing gear from Oculus or HTC. The AH101 uses inside-out, or what Acer calls world-scale, tracking. That means you don't need to run a bunch of sensors to the corners of your VR space. Simply run the setup to create your boundaries, and you're good to go. Everything is done inside the headset. In addition to the headset, the AH101 includes two motion controllers equipped with triggers, side buttons, thumbsticks, and touchpads / directional pads. After having used the equivalent on both the Oculus and HTC products, I can say that these feel much more comfortable and way more functional. But enough of the hardware. Let's get to virtualizing. The AH101, like the other MR headsets announced by Microsoft, are designed to work primarily with Windows Mixed Reality, which starts with the MR Portal. This is your home in VR space. From here, you can surf the web, watch movies, make Skype calls, buy apps, and pretty much enjoy customizing your VR space any way that you'd like. This might seem like throwaway eye candy, but this portal is important because it shows what Microsoft actually wants from mixed reality. They want you to use it for more than games. Non-coincidentally, the main thrust of the Oculus Connect 4 conference was to push the exact same thing. And I think Microsoft may actually have a leg up in this area. Now, just because Microsoft wants you to use the MR headset for more than games, that doesn't mean it doesn't play games. It does, and it does it very well. The AH101 has the same 90Hz refresh as both the Vive and the Rift, and even sports higher resolution, 2880 by 1440 versus 2160 by 1200. Though both competing products have debatably better image quality with larger OLED screens and a 110-degree field of view. To get the most out of the AH101, you need a moderately spec'd computer, at least a 6th-gen i5, 16GB of memory, a GeForce 965M or Radeon RX 460, HDMI 2.0, and USB 3.0. It can run on lesser machines, but performance will suffer. For example, using integrated graphics or HDMI 1.4 will drop you to a 60Hz refresh, which I found jarring. We played with the AH101 for hours, and it performed extremely well. The motions were accurate and precise. The tracking never failed, and except for a few glitches that occurred when I deliberately moved the controllers too far behind me, the VR experience was flawless. I would have liked a longer tether or wireless operation, but at this price point, that's not going to happen. Of course, with only 50 games and apps in the store, many will be put off. I mean, Superhot is an awesome game, but some will want more, and they shouldn't worry. There's already a Windows Mixed Reality preview in the Steam Store that will allow Steam VR to play on your MR headset. In the end, the AH101 is a very competitively priced $400 VR headset that ups the Rift and Vive in terms of functionality and ergonomics, while falling a little short in image quality. For me, a casual gamer who is more interested in a portable rig that does more than games, the Acer AH101 is a no-brainer. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire, the Digital Jesuit, for Twit TV.
Have you noticed that there's like a very... people using VR, they look... Why is it that we always look like that? We look
horrible. And I'm breathing into the mic on purpose. I know somebody was complaining about that earlier. Yes, please, take me. Take me now. It's time to play.
The worst part of that game are the segments where you have to shoot yourself or kill yourself.
Oh,
I'm like, no,
yes.
Don't make me do that.
Oh, totally. Yes. That was really hard to come to terms with.
The first time it happened, I'm like, wait, why am I... What's going on? It's
right.
Like, test your faith. Wait, what?
Right, test your faith. Because inside the game, it's showing you that it's a simulation.
Right.
It's like, this is how you exit or something. So.
Now, I do have to say, because I mean, remember, I went to Oculus Connect 4.
This is way better than the Rift. The technology-wise, it's so much better. And a lot of the Steam games that support the Oculus Rift are already available for Windows mixed reality headsets. Mm-hmm. So the game gap is it's going to close. I mean, let's face it. Everyone's going to want to make as much money as possible. And the code change is minuscule, so they might as well support both this and the Oculus Rift. The Santa Cruz, Project Santa Cruz, that's the one that Oculus is going to do that doesn't require you to put the sensors.
Right.
That's what this is close to, because it's an inside-out sensor view. And I got to say, for $400, this is definitely something you want in your cave.
Now, might be something that's on my list.
Oh, cool.
Just saying.
Just saying.
For those of you listening.
Now, you've tried the Oculus Rift before, right?
Yeah, I've tried the Rift. I've tried the HTC Vive. I've spent plenty of time with Windows Mixed Reality. They all have, you know, something that I really like and something that's better on another platform. I would say, though, and I don't know if it's just because it's the most recent one that I've tried, but I'm really impressed by Windows Mixed Reality.
Yeah.
I really like what I saw. I like the lower level of entry for it, and I really like the inside-out approach. You know,
yeah.
The setting up the room,
it
having that
small.
Barrier, that barrier that appears in your UI while you're playing. I really liked that. I thought it was a good
design. I used this over the Thanksgiving break, and you know, the fact that I could pull it out of my bag and everything was already linked up, and I would just sit down and do a quick calibration.
Mm-hmm.
Meant that everyone could play. It's like, oh, I didn't have to go, oh, let me set this up on a stand. Do you have a chair that's high enough? This was so simple to use. People actually enjoyed it. Now, I will say this. They say you need a Core i5 in order to run this properly. I would probably bump that up to an i7 just because on a lower-end computer, what tends to happen in Windows Mixed Reality, the location drifts. I think what's happening is
you don't want that.
Yeah, you're basically chugging the processor, and so what will happen is like you'll move, and it will mostly detect the motion, but then you eventually find out that like you're off mm-hmm. where you should be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't experience that when I had it hooked up to this. Now, this you've seen this before. They actually sent me this at the same time that they sent me the mixed reality headset. This is a 7th gen. Let's go down here. This is a 7th gen quad core. i7 7700 HQ, 8 gigabytes of DDR4, it's expandable to 32 gigs, a 256 gigabyte Intel PCI SSD, this thing's crazy fast, 15.6 inch 1920 by 1080 LCD. It does have a dedicated GPU. It's an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 1050 with 2 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory, gigabit Ethernet, 80-11 AC with a collapsing jack, by the way. So there's a collapsing jack on the side here, just like the old X jack. So this does, you know, again, I like wired.
Yep.
This does wired.
I like to have the option.
USB 3.0, 2 USB 2.0, 1 USB-C 3.1, HDMI. It's got a 7-hour battery. This thing's going to weigh about 5 pounds. But here's the thing, Jason. I didn't bring it because I actually broke it last night. Because I guess I just didn't engineer it well enough. I created a mount.
Oh, so you meant the laptop.
Oh, no.
Like, what? No.
I created a backpack mount for this.
That's right. You were talking about
it that. It straps to your back, and the headset's on your head, and now you don't have to worry about the tether because it's all... And it's, it's 5 pounds on your...
5 pounds, not that much.
It will actually...
You could throw it in just a normal backpack, but you designed one?
I designed one.
And then it snapped?
Well, it started to snap. I'm like, I don't want the laptop.
You don't want to risk it at that point.
The thing's going to snap.
Yeah.
I have to increase the material I use a little bit.
Yeah.
But... That's perfect. 5 pounds on your back, 7-hour battery life, and just go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't need this back immediately, so if you want to take it home and get super hot, I'm just...
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, easy.
All right. Where do I sign?
Oh, by the way, we already got the link for the headset.
It's calling to me. Sorry. We can do the show another time.
Yeah, just pause.
Can I just...
if you go to the link for the Acer Aspire 7, again, what I like about this is it's a $900 notebook.
Yeah,
but it's a very, very good gaming notebook. This is
not bad.
This is the equivalent of what the Acer Predator was last year, and that thing was closer to a $2,000 notebook.
Could you drive some of the other VR platforms with this computer?
Gosh,
do the Vive?
This is a full. I mean, this is not a crippled notebook. The only thing that would make this better is if they had used the 1080 part instead of the 1050, but the 1050 is still pretty dang fast, and maybe increase the screen to 2K or 4K. Mm-hmm. But everything else on that, I mean, the construction's nice. It doesn't feel plasticky.
Yeah, no, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, for $900, that's great. Nice. But let's do something else. This is a little weird, Jason. Mm-hmm. The other week, Leo Laporte was saying how, like, you know, when you're in your sofa, if you're in your man cave, really the only way to play is with a console. And some people took offense to that.
I could understand why.
And there was a representative of one company who was watching that episode. He said, no, let me send you something. So the guys over at, I never know how to say, is it Rokat or Rock? I always say Rocket. They sent me this. Now, they... this is the lean back experience for people who who want a game, but they want a game with their PC. Now, I love their products. Wow. They make some wonderful mechanical keyboards and mice. So this is the Sova. It's a gaming laptop. Now, the whole idea is this entire thing goes into your lap on your sofa. So this is your man cave control. And on the back, of course, you've got gel pads. So, you know.
Yeah, right? Yeah, okay. Comfy.
It's a little comfy. Sure. And all the cabling is on a bungee. So what will happen is your mouse is actually held into the cable management slots. Let's see if we can get them. Here we go. The cable management slots on the side here. It's got two USB 2.0 ports. And then this is a 4-meter detachable cable. So it's USB, but it has a breakaway. So if you accidentally pull it or someone trips over the cord, rather than either pulling your PC out of its place or your keyboard out of your lap, it will just pull on the breakaway connector. This it uses what you would expect from Rokat. So they've got a fully illuminated keyboard. This is their membrane one. And at first, I didn't like that because I kind of like the mechanical feel.
Yeah.
But it's a decent membrane. And here's the thing. The mechanical keyboard is crazy noisy. So if you're sitting on your sofa with somebody else typing on a mechanical keyboard, you're a dick.
Click, 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 click.
Don't be that guy. So this is actually quite nice. Everything that you would expect from a Rokat Rocket gear is supported on this. So it does swarm, so I can access this with my smartphone. I can set my macros. I can set the illumination level. I got 6 levels of brightness. Again, you know, it's got this, which is the sort of the mouse pad mm-hmm. and the wrist rest. I thought this was ridiculous. When I first received this, I was like, wait, what? But then I put it in our TV room mm-hmm. over at the Jesuit residence. And every time I would come in there was a Jesuit there, and he would have it in his lap. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay.
How big is the TV in that room?
It's a 50-inch.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's like... And people who weren't even gaming.
Yeah.
They were just, like, bringing up a side screen, and they were surfing. And I'm like, oh. Okay, so people get this. People understand this.
You can help but notice that the plastic covering is still on this thing. Okay, I'm just saying. It's
Filipino. Why do people keep wanting to take my plastic off?
I will leave it. I will leave it.
Hey, I took the plastic covering off of this.
Okay, good. I'm happy you did. That would have... totally come
but,
off
but
right
only
now
because one of the Jesuits was like, why is this on air? I'm like,
I just don't understand, man.
It's a thing. Understand. It's a full-on thing. Now, okay, price-wise, not great. Yeah? This is $150.
Wow.
If you want the mechanical version, that's going to be $166. So, yeah, they are pricier, but, I mean, all of their products tend to be a little pricier because they're higher end. But here's the thing. I have never replaced a Rokat Rocket. I got to learn how to say that company right. I've never replaced one of the products. They're incredibly durable. And this is unique. I don't know anything like this. I thought, oh, it's just like holding your laptop in your lap. It's totally not. It's completely different. And this is so much nicer than having to do that.
Nice. I like it. That's it. Man, that's a lot of space for your mouse.
You know what I want to do? I want to bring this and carry on the plane. Just put it in my lap.
I don't think it would work. I just don't think it would work.
and then just like tape the screen to the seat in front of me.
Crazier things have happened.
I don't think that's a no bueno. So that's the Sova.
Nice.
Not bad. Let's complete the gaming triumphant because one thing that was missing from that virtual reality headset is we didn't have headphones. And I do want to show you a set of my favorite. Now, people know that I like the HyperX series. Just because they're incredibly comfortable and they're very well priced. This is the HyperX Cloud Alpha. This is their newest version. People have seen the we've done the Cloud Revolver, their higher end ones. This is sort of mid range, but they've done a couple of things with this that I really, really like. So it's got 50 millimeter dual chamber drivers. It's got an aluminum frame. It uses memory foam with a leatherette. It's super comfortable for long periods of time, which is nice. Here you go, Jason.
More plastic on the side.
This one was straight out of the box. You can't complain about that one.
All right. No, that's true. I can't.
It's pretty, right?
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Nice. Now, this is one of the most comfortable. I have headsets from Bose, from Audio Technica, from Edemotic. These are the most comfortable I've ever had. I mean, I can have these on my head all day and not feel it.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about it is everything is detachable. So if you want to do the little gaming session, you've got the mic that you can put on the side. The controls are in line. It includes things like all the drivers. So you can use this with PC, with Xbox, with PS4, with Nintendo Switch, with your phone, basically anything that has either USB or a 3.5 millimeter connector. Here's the thing. I would put this as just a tiny bit above the higher-end HyperX headset that I have, but this is only $100.
Is that it?
Yeah, versus $150, $180. So this is actually quite nice. This is something that I think would be good for a gamer who wants a little bit of style. In fact, I had a set like this with this sort of
I don't accents. Know if that's titanium or what it is, but I like the metal stylings on the side.
Really nice. I had a set like that, but Craig Hugo took them. Because Hugh had to game. Mm. Actually, he's more of a gamer than I am, so that's fair. So again, this is the Cloud Alpha by HyperX.
Nice.
It's their pro headset gamer for gamers. And $100, that's actually a very doable gift.
Yeah, that's absolutely within the Christmas gift range, for sure.
Yeah. Now, what I want to do when we come back, Jason, is I've been focusing on a lot on my man cave, but I want to see your man cave because your man cave looks very different than mine.
Yeah, it's a little specialized.
Which is good. So we're going to get to the Jason Howe musician man den in just a bit. But first, let's go ahead and take another moment to thank another sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, folks, when you have a presence on the internet, there is one rule that applies there that applies in the real world, and that is location, location, location. All right, who cares if you make something that's wonderful, if you write content that's incredible, that if you make videos that are wonderfully imaginative, if people can't find you, if people don't remember the name, if people don't know that name, that domain is associated with you and with your work. Now, you could go through the process, the old process of going from registrar to registrar and trying to pick up whatever names have been parked and pay a lot of money, or you could go with a registrar that understands that they need a domain that speaks to you. And that registrar is Hover. Now, this episode of Know How is brought to you by Hover. What are you passionate about? Do you have an idea for a business? Are you launching a creative project? Buying a domain name is the first and the biggest step to building your brand online. Now, Hover has over 400 domain extensions to choose from to help you brand yourself. Now, that's a lot of choices to help you find the perfect domain name. If you're a blogger or a company trying to create new leads or inform your customer base, you can use the .blog instead of a generic .com or .biz domain name. Now, by using .blog, you're telling everyone to expect impactful content about your topic or business rather than a generic homepage. Whatever your interest may be, Hover has an extension for you that includes .tech, .photo, .security, .a whole lot else. And now, do you know what else is great about Hover? The fact that they have a no-holds-barred customer support policy. It's best in class. No upsells. They just try to solve your problems and get you happily computing down the road. Now, the Hover Connect feature allows you to connect your domain name to any host or website builder with just a few simple clicks. That lets you personalize email that matches your domain and further supports your online identity. No more using Gmail, folks. If you're a professional, if you want people to know that you are a professional, that you know what you're doing, well, then have a domain that actually represents you, not Google, not Yahoo. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to show the online community who you are and what you're passionate about. Just go to hover.com/twit and get 10% off your first purchase. That's hover.com/twit. And we thank Hover for their support of Know How. All right, Jason, blow me away with the Manden.
Okay, so this segment is called WWJHIHMC, or What Would Jason Have in His Man Cave?
I like that. Okay,
that's good. Which is kind of what I focused on. Two different divisions. What I have there already.
Okay.
And admittedly, some of it's a little outdated, so I don't know if this is making any Christmas gift lists, but I can talk about some of the stuff that I have there because I think I've got some pretty fun stuff. If you are a musician or an audiophile or you like playing video games on arcade cabinets.
I've got some of those, yeah.
That you made out of a Raspberry Pi. Anyways, so I've got that. I've got things that I have in my den. And then I have things that I wish I had.
Ooh.
So
that's the gift registry, by the way,
yes,
folks. So
exactly.
If you want to know what to get Jason,
yeah,
there you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do I have in my den? I am a musician. I do write music. So the majority of the stuff that I actually have in there is tailored to that. It's basically my studio. The den is my studio. It's also my wife's workspace mm-hmm. when she works. It's multi-purpose, like I said earlier. But for me, I've got an old Mac Pro. We're talking, year is it? It's a 2009 Mac Pro.
We have newer Macs here that are just rotting away.
Yeah, but it's maxed memory. It's locked on an older version of the OS.
I see that.
It works with Pro Tools, which is kind of at the top of my list. I've written music with Pro Tools for a very long time now. And Pro Tools actually has, and a lot of the professional software suites are doing this now. Adobe's doing it with their suite, where you can either buy the software outright and you pay a lot of money. Like Pro Tools, the most recent version of Pro Tools, I think is like $600 if you want to buy the software outright. Or you can pay on a monthly plan, which at first when I heard about that, I was like, are you crazy? Yeah. Why the heck would I ever do that? But then when I actually really thought about it, it actually makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Because I just keep updating it.
Because you always get updates. Basically, what I do is I pay up front every year, and I got in when they first switched over to this monthly plan.
So you're grandfathered.
Into a really great price. Okay. I pay $100 for the year. And when you break that down, you know, that's less than $10 a month to always have the most updated version of Pro Tools, right?
Now, what do they update? Do they, like, add effects or...
It's, you know, a lot of times it's under the hood stuff, okay, or it might be tailored to post-production for, like, you know, movie studio, audio work, that sort of stuff. Definitely added features throughout that make writing music with the software or editing audio a little bit easier. I just always want to have the latest version. It might not always be effects. It might just be workflow.
But I'm always happy to be on the most recent. Supports MIDI.
Yes, it absolutely does support MIDI.
Better.
There may have been a time where Pro Tools did not, and Pro Tools, admittedly, in the audio production world, is probably not the most dynamic when it comes to MIDI. It's just more complicated. They all do at this point, pretty much. It's just they do it a little differently, and some digital audio workstations are better at MIDI. Some are better at audio and editing, and I would say Pro Tools is very respected for its audio and editing, and that's why I use it.
Well, at minimum, you use the MIDI for triggering.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do use the MIDI in a couple of different ways. One is, Avid Artist Mix is a mixing board that I picked up a couple of years ago.
Oh,
it's like an 8-channel mixing board. It's basically a controller by Avid, who also creates Pro Tools. And it's designed to work pretty tightly with Pro Tools, so it allows you to have like an actual physical interface for sliding those faders instead of having to do everything digitally
on screen.
And that's all
MIDI control.
Well, I think you maybe can do it MIDI, but really it plugs into the Ethernet port. It's similar. It's in its approach.
Oh, it's
and
Ethernet.
Yeah, it is just
that's
through the
crazy.
Ethernet approach on this.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and you can control all of your plugins. You can do all sorts of control. There's a little bit of a learning curve with using that small interface to do some of the more dynamic things within Pro Tools. But the more you use it, the more you learn, and it's a lot of fun. That's $1,000 for that.
That's a super specialized piece of art.
I will admit, audio production, the world of audio production, especially Pro Tools, there is nothing inexpensive about it. And that's just because so many of the big name studios and everything, they use it. There's money to be fed into it. Pro Tools is seeing a lot of competition, though, now, and it's absolutely not the only player in the game. So there are ways to go about this to get it a lot less expensive.
Unfortunately, there's no real way to shortcut it, because I've tried to do decent audio production on an extreme budget,
yeah,
it never turns out properly. It's always, there's too much noise, or you have a tool that doesn't just almost, but not there.
Yeah. So
you do have to invest.
You do, and you have to kind of know what you're looking for, too, right? Like, it's really easy to go online and find a bunch of different microphone options that you can get. But if you aren't that familiar with the different types of microphones, or why one is better or worse than another, or why one person might want to opt for a USB microphone, another person might want to opt for getting an actual amplifier, you know, and go the more analog route, whatever those things are, like, you can really go down a rabbit hole.
I remember these years, because I used to be a recording engineer, and you can spend a lot of money on the wrong stuff. It's super, super easy.
Absolutely. Thankfully, if you spend a lot of money on the wrong stuff, if it's good quality hardware,
it
has great resale value. But the way things have been going lately and in the past many years is that everything's moving into this virtual realm, and there's no resale value on that pretty much.
I bought a Mackie 32x16 mixer that I used for a year, and it was just, you know, it was too big, and it didn't really do what I wanted to do, and I sold it for more than I had purchased it for.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, hey.
Yeah. It's like free rental.
It's like tech library.
Yeah, I know, right? Now, we were talking about MIDI, and you can, my next pick that I use in this setup can work through MIDI. It can also work through USB, which is, I think, the way that I use it, which is the Akai MPK249. It's a controller keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have a full-size 88-key controller keyboard with weighted keys that really replicated the feel of a piano, and I loved it. It was just so ginormous that at a certain point I felt like it didn't necessarily match what I needed out of a controller. So I was half of me was sad to get rid of that, but the other half was happy to pick something up like this, because as you can see, it's not only a keyboard, you don't get those weighted keys, but you get a lot of those little pads that you can program through MIDI to assign them to different sounds. So, you know, we've all have heard of the MPC, the Akai MPC, for rhythm generation. You can kind of replicate that with this. You also get a lot of those sliders and knobs and everything that you can assign to different functions within your digital audio workstation, so that you, instead of having to use your mouse to draw this automation, which is like the changing of levels or the, you know, the increasing the level of of reverb,
you just gotta slide
whatever, instead of using your mouse to do that, which can be sometimes just kind of takes a little bit of the life out of it, you have an actual physical controller and you can do it, and it just sounds a little bit more natural.
Nice.
So, and that's not that expensive. That's $399. I think you can sometimes get that on sale through Amazon for $100 cheaper. They run sales on that from time to time. I do a lot of my music production at night, which means that I can't do it through my my speakers. I have Mackie HR824s in the room that can get really loud, and they sound really great, and I've loved them for years. But
you don't want to wake up your kids?
I don't want to wake up my family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I don't know if you remember, not a long
no.
ago, a while back on the network, I reviewed the Hi-Fi Man HE400i headphones.
I remember you kind of liked those. You actually went and got yourself a set?
Yeah. Yes. These are planar magnetic headphones, and I love them. And you were saying that these, over long periods of time, are uncomfortable.
These are
the most comfortable headphones I've ever used. I don't know. There's something about the design. I feel almost like they're not even on me when I'm using it. And because it's an open-eared setup, it's maybe not the perfect microphone or perfect headphone for recording when you're doing stuff with a microphone. I end up using it anyways just because I love the sound of it.
And
I get a little bit of leakage, but I still like it.
It's neutral. It's perfectly neutral.
Compared to any headphones that I've ever had, I feel like when I mix, because I do a lot of mixing in headphones, which can be a tricky subject, any audio engineer will tell you, I feel like it really translates to actual speakers very well. You kind of do a balance between both, but I do most of my mixing on these headphones now, and I love it.
Remy Chicago is calling you Princess Leia.
Yes. Hey, they're big. They got the Leia thing going on.
Help me all about Android. You're my only hope.
But you know what? I'm willing to be that the quality of these headphones.
Patrick Dorn swears by these.
Kind of good news, when I reviewed these months ago on the network, you could find them for around $350. Now I'm seeing them for around $220. Right now you can get them on Amazon, $220.
Well, it's all about scale. I mean, planar technology, they're making a lot more of these. It's going to be less expensive to manufacture.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them so much.
These are good.
And really nice. Any other pair of headphones that I have now are just like, they're gathering dust.
I'll trade you for a NAS.
Poor thing. Oh. Another thing that I've fallen in love with very recently, and I'm actually very active with it right now. I reviewed this not too long ago on the new Screensavers.
It's an egg timer.
This is the Spire Studio. I'm trying to... there we go. My brain wasn't working. This is the Spire Studio, and this is basically an 8-track digital audio recorder.
No way.
And so when I turn it on, I can do it all within this device. You can see there's a front page, there's a microphone here, kind of an all-purpose microphone. It's all compact and resides in here. I've got tons of songs that I've recorded on this thing.
Nice.
And it's what I love about it, like last night as my example, everybody was in bed. I had a song idea. I have a challenge to write a song a day with this for the next, for the 30 days of the Kickstarter.
So you just keep layering.
And so, yeah, exactly. The idea behind a track recording, of music is that you lay down a track, maybe the guitar, and then you do a percussion pass through.
Awesome.
And you do all these layers. You have 8 tracks to work with. And you can even get even more creative within there. You can say, oh, my vocal track, there's like 30 seconds in the middle where I have nothing. Why don't I put this thing there?
And you can record 2 tracks at the same time. Because you've got 2 XLRs?
Or? So basically you can do either a mono or a stereo source.
Okay.
So every track is a stereo track.
Got it.
And it can be mono or stereo.
So you have 16 mono tracks.
Yeah, but you can't treat them individually.
Okay, got it.
So it's like you have 8 tracks to work with. Are they stereo or mono?
Right.
But what I love about this is like last night, the kids, everyone was in bed. I had this idea. It required a guitar. It required me to sing kind of loud. It's really goofy and up on SoundCloud. it's like one of the weirdest songs I've written in a long time. But I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do it last night at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, so I went out in the car.
I just like the lights, Jason.
Yeah, I know. It's blinky. I went out in the car with this thing, and I recorded a song in an hour sitting in the car.
That's a studio that you take with you.
I'm not locked down in my studio. Yeah. I just see this as a really great songwriting tool. I'm not going
to
create publishable music with this unless I tried really hard, which is totally not impossible. But for prototyping music... This is my new favorite thing. I love this thing.
How much is this?
It's a little expensive. It's $350.
That's not expensive. That's the same price as a Zoom H4N.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally specialized, right? And you can do a lot of stuff. There's built-in effects. You're recording the effects down, so you kind of have to commit to certain things, which forces your creativity in new ways. I love this thing.
And I love the app control. Although, is it only iOS?
It is only iOS right now. Yeah, but I mean, you can do a lot of this without iOS at all. You can do, most of what this is capable of with just this device.
You are giving me ideas because I do need to build a studio in Rome, and that might be on the wish list.
It's just a lot of fun. It's like a $350 toy for me, and I'm so happy I'm doing the Song a Day challenge. If you go to SoundCloud, just search for my name, and you'll find. I've got like 12 songs at this point done in 12 days, so having a lot of fun with that. And then to round this out real quick here, Arcade Cabinet, of course. You remember way back when in my den, we have the Arcade Cabinet that was put
together
by a family
on the East Coast. Which I understand, there's a series of thefts in your part of Petaluma. Someone came by and stole the SD card out of your Raspberry.
Something happened to my SD card. I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What's going on here? Yeah, I love this thing, and it still gets used. When I'm bored, I fire it up. I jump into Track and Field, or my kids load it up, and they jump into, Simpsons or whatever. I mean, it's just such a great thing to have in any den. I think any den needs a MAME cabinet, arcade cabinet of some sort. And then finally, Hue light bulbs, which is kind of a, just throw it out
mood
there.
Lighting.
It's pretty easy. But yes, the Generation 3 color bulbs are $50 right now. Which is expensive for a light bulb, no doubt about it. But if you're going to get into the Hue world, now is the time. Because for the holidays, like there are sales all over the place where you can get 3 or 4 bulb packs along with the hub. And you get them for way less than $50 per bulb. You get them for like $25 for bulb.
Tis the season to be individually addressable LED lighting.
Yeah. And if you're working on music, it's nice to be able to set the colors red or something,
right,
and kind of set the mood. Now that's what I have. Really quick, let's dive into what I wish I had.
The things Jason would like.
Hint. And I wink, wink. And it's a pretty big wink because these are expensive things. A BFM or big monitor.
Big thing. Friendly monitor.
Big friendly monitor.
Actually, big friendly monitor.
The one you have in your office.
Just take that. You know, this is a great monitor. It is fantastic.
The Dell 43 Ultra HD 4K multi-client monitor, as Rakuten says. $750. I didn't realize it was that low. See, that's affordable.
You know, every time I leave the studio for an extended period of time, that monitor disappears off my desk and it's replaced with one of the 1080p TVs. Like, people think I'm not going to notice.
Who could that be?
Oh, wow, I guess it just, the resolution faded away or something.
Who on earth might that have been that did that time?
That's a good choice, though. That's a fantastic choice.
I would love to have it. Also, I would love to upgrade my controller for my Pro Tools rig and the Pro Tools S3.
That doesn't look that much more expensive.
It bronzes it out.
Yeah, the other one was, $1,000? This has got to be what? $1,500, maybe?
No, it's normally $5,000. On sale for $4,000.
Okay. Oh, wait. Does this have the sliders that move?
Oh, yeah. So does the other one. Motorized faders.
I would do that all day.
It's cool. I guess you kind of get used to that pretty quick.
No, that is cool.
But it is really cool. I would love to have the extra space and be able to take myself further out of the screen and further into the hardware.
I would just have sequences that just make the sliders like
a sine wave. Just put a sine wave assign it to it. If you didn't know by now, I'm kind of obsessed with Super Hot. And so any VR system that has Super Hot... Doesn't matter. I don't really care which one I have. Thank you. I love that every time I'm on, it becomes a Super Hot ad. Nintendo Switch with Super Mario Odyssey. No other game needed.
Of course.
But I know I have not played the game, but I know it looks really awesome, and I would love to have that in my den for when I'm bored. I could just sit down and play Super Mario Odyssey. I love what I've seen and heard about that game. Have you played it?
I don't have a Switch yet.
Oh, okay.
But I've been impressed by what I played with on the Switch. So
yeah. Man, that game looks
awesome. I mean, people I trust have been telling me it is the best Mario game they've ever played. I'm thinking, oh, that's actually pretty good. I have to try that.
Yeah. And then finally, a lava lamp.
Who doesn't want a lava lamp?
You need a lava lamp in your den/man cave/
Sheesh,
multi-purpose
people.
Room.
Make it happen.
I tried to find a tech angle on the lava lamp. I was like, is there a high-tech lava lamp?
None needed. No.
Anyways.
Lava lamp, man.
There you go. That's $99.
Jason, I think that's a pretty comprehensive list that we've compiled. If you've got a man cave, a man den, or if you're like me and it's sort of a portable man thing, this is the perfect episode, I guess. Now, we know that this was a lot of information. We want to make it very easy for you to get links to any of the products that we've talked about, or perhaps to check out our personal reviews of each individual piece of gear. You can find that all at our show notes just by going to twit.tv/KH. That's for know-how. Now, while you're there, why not subscribe? It's the best way to support the show.
Why not?
If you like know-how, if you want to see us on the air, if you want to get any back episodes, you can always go here to the little drop-down menu and choose the version of your choice to be delivered automatically to the device of your choice. You can get an audio version in your iPhone so you can listen to us on the way to work. You can get a video version on your tablet so that you can listen to us and watch us on your break. And you can get the high-definition version downloaded automatically into your Mac, your PC, your desktop, your laptop, so you can watch us in all our HD glory at home. Although I would not suggest that because I look horrible in HD. Also, don't forget that we got social. We do the internet thing.
Oh, yeah, socials.
Yeah, socials. Specifically Google+. Just go to Google+, look for know-how. There's a little approval process just so we can keep out the spam accounts. But once you get in, you get access to almost 12,000 Kidas. Those are our know-it-alls. These are people on every step of their maker DIY journey. You can ask questions. You can answer questions. And please, please, please post videos and pictures of your projects so we can show them off here on the show. Also, you're going to find us on Twitter. You're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. If you follow me there, you get to find out what I'm doing when I'm not at the studio. Jason, where are you?
Jason Howell, @JasonHowell on Twitter.
Yeah, and of course, you can find Jason Howell here on this network all the freaking time. All About Androids on Tuesday, Tech News Weekly on Thursday, just in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And you do make quite a few appearances on the new screensaver. So
yeah, do that from time to time as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what?
What?
Why don't we take this time? You also got to toss them over to your Kickstarter, I think, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I guess so. We've
Let's
talked a little bit about music production and everything. So if you're interested in music that I make when I'm playing around with all this stuff in my den, go to yellowgoldmusic.com. You'll see a link there to a Kickstarter. Yellowgoldmusic.com is my site. And, yeah, I got a third album that I'm hoping
Let's
to release at the beginning of next year, and I would love to get it mastered, and that's kind of what it's all about. So,
folks, this is how you support there. Good artists. You have to support good artists. You know, he's an independent. Let's do this.
I'd be making music whether I was releasing it this way or not, but so a lot of people have told me they want to get involved beforehand to help it make it sound better. So that's why I'm doing this.
We also have a third member of our crew. He sits over there and he pushes our buttons. We call him Super Hot.
Super Hot. Alex.
Or not Alex.
Super Hot, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at
Super Hot. You can find Super Hot at twitter.com/ANELF3. Until next time, I am Super Hot Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Super Hot Jason Howell.
And now that you know how,
Go super hot it.